So we are in the very last word of Samach Zayin Beis, where it said in the word is Meisive. And the Gemara they were just discussing wanted to know the din of a Baal Keri, which machon a Baal Keri has to be sent out from. And the Pasuk never tells us what a Baal Keri, where it gets sent out to. The Pasuk first said from the word V'chol Zav, the extra word V'chol, it could be sent out, it should be sent out where the Zav is, sent out of the two machonos. And then the Gemara, however, brought a Braisa that says a Baal Keri is like a Magisher. It's comparable. And the Gemara wanted to know, what was it comparable to a Sheretz for? So maybe, is it not talking about machanos? That just like a Sheretz only needs to leave the first machana, not the second machana, so too Baal Keri only needs to leave the first one, not the second one. That's what the Gemara thinks at first. It seems to be a steer. The Gemara says, no, it was referring to, in terms of Tumah, that they equated in terms of Tumah. The Gemara says, well, that's not true, because the Pasuk tells me already that they're both only Tame one day. Why would the Braisa need to add to the Pasuk? What's adding to the Pasuk? So it must be in terms of machanos. So the Gemara says, no, really it's in terms of Tumah. And they're similar in that just like a Sheretz can be Metame even Be'ones, so too Baal Keri can be Metame Be'ones. Okay, so then the Gemara asks this question, Meisive, going on to Samech Chesman Aleph, Bo'al Nida Kitame Meis. The din of a Bo'al Nida has the same din as a Tumas Meis, meaning Lamai, in terms of which halacha, Ilema L'Tumasam, in terms of the levels of Tumah, well, high tumas shiva ksibbe, but high tumas shiva ksibbe. It says in regards to both them that they're tame 7 days. It says by bol nida is tame 7 days. It says by tame mace it's tame 7 days. So it can't be comparing, the brisa can't be comparing the two in regards to tumah. Ela lav l'machanosam, it must be referring to the both encampments, that just like a tumas mace gets sent out only from the first machana, so to bol nida only gets sent out from the first machana. So once that's the case, this is all the same brisa as before of comparing the Baal Keri to the Magisheretz. So Ella Lav So Midasefa L'machanosam Havi Reishan Nami L'machanosam. So once we've established that the Baal Nida is comparable to Tomei Meis in terms of the Machanos, it must be that the ratio of the brisa in terms of Baal Keri to Tomei Sheretz is also in regards to Machanos. And what would come out is that Baal Keri only needs to be sent out the first camp, not the second camp. That would be a steerer to the Drasha of Echol Zav. And the Gemara says, no, that's not a raya. Midi irya hakadisa hakadisa. No, each one are independent. Just because they're in the same price, it doesn't mean they have to be the same comparison. When it comes to the comparison of Baal Keri to Magisheretz, that's in regards to the Tumas Ba'ones. When it comes to the comparison of Baal Nida to Tumas Meis, that's in regards to the Machanos. But they're two different comparisons. The Gemara asks, now, Meisive, Mitzora Chamer Mizava, Mitzora is more Chamer Mizava, in that Mitzora gets sent out of all three Machanos. And the Zav is Chomer Mitame Meis, the Zav gets sent away from two Machanos, while the Meis is only sent out of one Machanos. Those are the different levels of Shiluch Machanos. And then the Gemara, the Bryce has a very strange lashon here, Yotze Baal Keri Shetame Meis Chomer Mimemenu. To exclude a Baal Keri, which is more Tame than Tumas Meis.
This is a Bryce, right?
It's a Bryce, yeah. Unclear what this means. The Bryce says, "My, what does it not mean the following? That Yotze, my Yotze, what does it mean Yotze? Lav Yotze Michal Zav, that the Baal Keri leaves the category of a Zav, Ubal Lichal Tumas Meis, and becomes into the category of Tumas Meis, the Ha Tumas Meis Chomer Mimenu, Umotu B'machan Leviyah. So that Tumas Meis is more Chomer, yet Tumas Meis is permitted in Machan Leviyah, so it must be that the Baal Keri is also permitted in Machan Leviyah. And this is the Kasha. Before we said that Baal Keri has to leave Machan Leviyah, from this brisa, the way we're understanding this line, it sounds like it's less chomer than Tumas Meis, and therefore can be in Machan Leviyah. Where's his love? That's
and
not
it,
how you read it.
And it doesn't refer to why it says that it's less chomer than Tumas Meis.
It doesn't say why it's less chomer than Tumas Meis. Well, I think it's we said before, I'm not sure if the Gemara actually said, but Tumas Meis is Shivas Yamim, it requires Shlosh Shivas Shvi. Rashi says it? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. Fine. So, says the Gemara then, V'afaga, so there's no lol, that's not the, how to read the end of the Braisa, rather, Yotami Machana Tame Meis, it leaves the state of Machana Tame, Tumas Meis rather, V'nichnas L'machana Zav, and enters into Machana Zav, V'afaga the Tame Meis Chomer Mimenu, even though Tumas Meis is more Chomer, and it's permitted Machana Leviyah, the Baal Keri leaves that category of Tumas Meis, and enters into Tumas Zav, to be Machana Leviyah. Sorry, let's read that again. Rafa gav the tamei meis mchamer mimenu demut to b'machan leviyah the ma'ad de dami le midami le. What's the last line saying? What it's similar to we compare to Meaning, so even though you're right, it's more chamer that the Tumas Meis is more chamer, and one would think Baal Keri should also be permitted in Machan Leviyah, we have to compare what it's similar to. And Baal Keri is similar to Zav, not similar to Tumas Meis. So just like Zav is not permitted in Machan Leviyah, so too Baal Keri is not permitted in Machan Leviyah. So that concludes the discussion of the Machanos in regards to the Baal Keri. Now the Gemara says, maybe not just yet, but Tani Tana Kami Dev Yitzchak Bar Yavdemi, learn the following brisa. The Yotze El Michutz LeMachane. This is the pasuk that says the. This is talking about Baal Keri again. I read the whole pasuk I have in the side here.
I'm sorry. So basically, it ends there, or.
Well, it's going to go. I forget. It's going to go ahead to discuss further about this topic. But as of now, the halacha is.
So the halacha is that it has to be outside of the Machane Levi Baal Keri.
Exactly. Okay. Now the pasuk. I'll just read the pasuk I have in the side here. It says Ki Yevecha Isha Shelo Yed Tahor Mikro Laila. When a person is a Baal Keri. The Yotze El Mechutz LeMachane, he goes outside the Machane, Lo Yavo El Tocha Machane. He goes outside the Machane, but he can't go inside the Machane. So unclear what this pasuk is referring to. So says the Gemara now, Tani Tana Kame Dev Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, as follows. The Yotze El Mechutz LeMachane, he goes outside the Machane, Zu Machane Shechina. The Baal Keri must leave the Machane Shechina, the most inner Machane. And then the pasuk says, "Lo yavo el tocha machane." He cannot go inside the machane. It's the second statement, "Zu machane levia." That tells us, "Mikan leval kari sheyosa chutz l'shem machane." Here we see the source. He must leave both machanos. It's a different source than we saw before. Before was v'chol zav. Here's from a different pasuk. Amalei akati lo aitha afiksa. He didn't enter in to the machane levia to tell him to go out of the machane levia. So what does this mean exactly? So Rashi says. Amar le akati lo ailiase afikase adain lo hichnisasa lemachne levia the kvar utasim imenu. It doesn't make sense. He was never permitted to be in the levia in the first place. That we're saying he should go out. The pasuk says yotzel mechutz lemachne and lo yavol tocha machne. It goes on to say Rashi dimidikamar lo yavol tocha. You shouldn't enter in michlal the omer de chutzlo. He sounds like he's standing outside of it already. Vekamar lo yichanes. Don't go inside. But v'ha kati lo ishtoi b'zeh shiyotze b'machan ishchina v'omri b'machan levia l'shalach mimenu v'kom mizar leh shalo yikaris ki l'kvar yotze. So it sounds like when the second part of the pasuk says lo yavo, don't enter machan levia, sounds like he's already outside the machan levia. But it doesn't make sense. Again, status quo, person's allowed in the makom shchina. The pasuk says first yotze muchos l'machan, leave the machan ishchina, go to machan levia. Then the pasuk says don't enter machan levia. What do you mean? How can he not enter? He's already in the Machane Leviyah. You only say don't enter when you're outside the Machane Leviyah.
You're missing one step.
Exactly. He never left the Machane Leviyah to warn him. And there's a Lishna Achrina, Akati lo afikse alasa. It's a similar type of language. He didn't go out for him to go inside yet.
Right.
So, okay, two different ways to view, but the same idea, that it's skipping a step. You can't tell him not to go in if he's never left the Machane Leviyah as of yet. So therefore, Ella, Ema says as follows. Michutz l'machane, when he says to leave the Machane, zu Machane Leviyah, that means leave the Machane Leviyah. So he has to jump out of two right off the bat. Now he's standing in Machane, the third Machane. Lo yavo el toch Machane, zu Machane Shechina. That means don't go into the Machane Shechina.
So why can't it be again, lo yavo el toch Machane Leviyah back? It's also skipping a step.
That's exactly what Gemara is about to ask. Gemara says, Maskev la Ravina, ema idiv idil Machane Shechina. Maybe they both should be leaving Machane Shechina. They should be permitted Machane Leviyah. And v'lavor alav ba'aseh v'lo saseh. Then finally, there's an aseh and there's a lo saseh. He gets an aseh, he has to leave Machane Shechina. And the additional lav, he gets a lav for entering back into the Machane Shechina. Why do you have to say it's two camps there he's leaving from? So the Gemara says, im kein lema krav v'yotz el michutz l'machane v'lo yavo el toch ha-machane v'lo yavo. And don't leave the Machane Shechina and don't go in. El toch ha-machane lamli. Why have to mention the words of machane again? Shmamina litein lo machane cheres. To give a second machane, he ends up having to leave two different machanos. Okay, so the Gemara.
Right, you could also say that it's obvious if he has to leave machane. Well, no, it's actually not. Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay,
wrong.
So the Gemara. This is again a second source as to how we know that a Baal Keri must leave this shtei machanos. Now the Gemara says, "Umichui krevav." Quoting from the Mishnah, the Mishnah said a number of things that were permitted to be done in Yontif, those that were not permitted to do on Yontif in regards to the Karim Pesach. And the Mishnah, Tamachem Beis, said that one of the things that was not that was permitted to be done on the Karim Pesach on Shabbos was Shechita, Zrika, and Umichui Krevav. And so what does Michui Krevav mean? So it means like cleaning out, squeezing out the innards. So the Gemara is going to explain what does this mean. So michoy kreva v'chulei, my michoy kreva. What does this mean? Rav Huna Amar shemenakvin b'sakin, that they would make a hole in the stomach, the different parts, to let all the insides come out. Rav Chiya bar Rav Amar shirka d'maya d'nafka agav duchka d'sakina. I'm not sure exactly what the sirka d'maya, but maybe some of the bowels, the liquids inside the stomach, you squeeze with the knife. You press the knife against it, and you squeeze it, causing all the insides to come out. So either you make a hole in it, or you press against it, sounds like. So, there's interesting Rashi here. The Rashi umnakvin b'sakin, the last, on the right column, inside column, Rashi says, menakvin b'sakin, shiyata harai, the inside, all the excrement should leave the body. She'im yanichenu b'sochan yasicha kodem shetichshach. If you leave everything inside, it's going to cause everything to go bad. V'loshen michoy, shemotzi perish racha de nimchas b'socho, it removes all the insides. The shinapir bolaz kmo umemcha v'shofich. Fine. This is the important part of Rashi. V'lishin achrina, michoy lashin nekeva v'chibol. Michoy means to stab into a chavala and to make a hole. Kemo timcha ezecha amalek. Timcha is not lashin enough to wipe out, but it's the way in which you make a hole and you cause everything to come out. So some poskim learn from here that the fact that we apply timcha ezecha amalek, the way to kill, to get rid of Amalek, is only through a very gruesome, painful type of killing. It's not simply just killing, let's say, with weapons of mass destruction, where perhaps there's no pain, people just die on the instant, but rather to go through some really gruesome yisurim, as when you kill Amalek, because you're supposed to give them holes and chavala. And so based on this Rashi, some learn this out.
I'm for it.
What? You're for it? Okay. Okay, so says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, my taima dechir bara. What's the reasoning? Dichsiv v'charvos machim geirim yochelu. So what does this pasuk mean? So my mashma kidmetargim Rav Yosef v'nichseim dirishayim the nichasim, the property of rishayim tzadike yichasnun. The tzadikim are going to inherit. So we see here the words machim is a reference to the Rishama, I think we're saying. Does Rashi tell us here? Mm-hmm. That's what it says, right? So the fact that machim is a reference to Rishayim, it removes getting rid of the bad stuff. That's what we see. The word of michoy means Rishayim.
I'm sorry, can I just...
Sure.
Tachlis, what's the difference between Rav Huna and Rav Chiya? They both want the way should come out. It's just the way they do it?
I believe it's the way they do it. One is we make a hole, or one is you press it out.
Okay.
So then the end of the pasuk now, slightly tangent here. It's the end of the pasuk we just brought of v'charvos mechaim machim garim yochelu. It says v'ro kivasim, the sheep are going to graze kidavram, like it was said. So Amar Menashe bar Yimra Amar Rav kimedubar bam, as it was spoken once before. What is it in reference to? Rashi says the top left Rashi now. It's Rashi carries on to the other side of the page. Kimedubar bam kimashe huftachu. Like the Navi already promised, so that's how the sheep are going to graze. And the Kvasim here, Rashi says, they refer to Yisrael. Others say it refers to Tzadikim. So what does it mean that they're going to graze like they were spoken to? My Gemara asks, my kimedumur bam, amar bai v'charvos machim garim yochelu. So the Tzadikim or Yisrael is going to eat the properties of the Rishon. So that's how they're going to end up grazing. That's what it means. Rashi says, my kimedumur bam. Mahi osa haftacha, what's the promise? Umifarsh la sefer dekra, hainu haftacha, v'charvos machim gar miyochelu, tzadikim ad hena kigerim v'toshavim. That they're going to eat the nechasim of the Rishayim as they were promised. That's what the Gemara refers to, the Pasuk refers to. So Amar le Rava, Rava says, according to this reading of the Pasuk, if you connect the first half of the Pasuk and the second half of the Pasuk, Bishma, that would have made sense to connect the two, iksiv charvos. Kidikamris. If it said charvos without vicharvos, but just so charvos, then it makes sense. Kidikamris. However, hashta now dichsiv vicharvos and milsa achrisa kamar. Vicharvos sounds like it's an independent statement, so therefore they should not be connected to each other. So el amarav, Rava says, therefore it refers to something different. Kidirav chananel amarav, damarav chananel amarav, atzidim tzadikim sheyuchyu es hamesim. In the future, the tzadikim are going to bring back to life the mesim. Ksiv Hacha V'ro Kvasim Kedabram, that the sheep are going to graze, in reference to Tchias and Mason, they're going to come back to life. Ksiv Hasim, it's written elsewhere, Yiru Beshen V'Gilad Kimei Olam. So we see the Lashon Ru is applied to two places. So what does it mean, the Yiru Vashon V'Gilad? How does that teach us anything about Tchias and Mason? So the Gemara says, Bashan ze Elisha, that's a reference to Elisha Habam Yuna Bashan. Elisha came from Bashan. And Shenamar says by Elisha, Vayani Vishafat Bibashan. So that's how we know he came from Bashan. Uksiv Po Elisha ben Shafat Asha Yotak Maim Ayad Ayade Eliyahu. So we see from here, as Rashi explained to us, that Elisha brought back to life the child who had died, he brought back to life. So it's a reference to Elisha. And Gilad ze Eliyahu, that's a reference to Eliyahu. Shenamar vayomer Eliyahu hatishbi mitoshav haGilad. He came from Gilad. So both Elisha and Eliyahu performed Tchias HaMeisim. So when the pasuk says Yiru kvasim kidabram, Yiru is reference to the ability that in the future that tzaddikim are going to come back to life of Tchias HaMeisim. So Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonas on asidim tzaddikim shiyachim meisim. In the future they're going to bring back to life. Shenamar od Yeshu zekenos, zekenim vizekenos. Berchovos Yushalayim, so they're going to be all the elders, the streets of Yushalayim. Ish Mushanto Biyado Merov Yomim, and he's going to be on his cane from the being very old. V'ksiv V'samta Mishanti Al Pnei Hanar, and you're going to place my canes on the face of the Nar. So I guess this is in reference to that they're going to come back to life. Is that the point?
No, it's that he was sitting in the streets. Ish Mishanto Biyado. That they will hold their canes in order to be mechayim etim, the skinim.
Uh-huh. So they'll have the canes in order to use that to perform tchias ha-meisim.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the Gemara says Ula Rami Ksiv Ula has the following kasha between two different sukkim.
By the Samta Mishanti, Rashi says that was the pasuk that we see when Elisha was mechayim etim.
Ah.
That he was. They also pushed on his cane or.
Uh-huh. So just like Elisha used the cane, so the pasuk here with the cane is a reference to Tchias HaMeisim in the future that they'll be able to perform. Okay. So Ula, Rami Ksiv, Ula had the following question between two psukim. Ksiv Bola HaMeis LaNetzach. So Rashi says, Bola HaMaves, Yivula Malach HaMaves Shlo Yishlom. They're going to swallow Malach HaMaves, there will be no longer Misa LaAsud Lavo. And another pasuk says, Ksiv Ki HaNar Ben Mea Shana Yomus. A Nar who when he's 100, he will die. But if he dies at 100, he'll be considered young when he dies. But there eventually will be death. I mean, life will outlast much longer than it does now, but it won't always last forever. So one pasuk says there'll never be Misa. One pasuk says, no, Misa will be, but just delayed. So look, Kasha, can be Yisrael, can be Akum. When it comes to Yisrael, they won't have any, there'll be no Misa for Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, but for the Akum, they will have. Says the Gemara then, Vorit Kachavim, my Baal Hasim, what's the need for Goyim in the future? So the chesiv va'amdu zarim v'ro tzonchem b'nei necha achrichem v'kormechem. Basically, you're going to use the goyim to perform the necessary avoda, any work needed to in the future. And when they're not needed anymore, then they will die. This is interesting Rambam that comes to mind that talks about who's going to. There's a discussion about. Let's see this for a second. There's a Machlokas Gemara in Sukkah and Shavuos about, Gemara seems to imply that the Beis HaMikdash can be built on Yantif. There's a discussion about that. And then elsewhere it says it can't be built on Yantif. There's a famous Rashi that says the Bais Shlishis is going to come down Mishamayim. And then according to the Rambam writes that no, that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built Ayidei Nachrim. Or maybe the Tiferes Yisrael. So Tiferes Yisrael in the Mishnah says, based on Rambam, that it's going to be built Ayidei Goyim. So according to his opinion, we see, it's consistent with the Gemara here, that the reason for the Goyim in the future will be to perform the necessary work for us. In particular, according to Tiferes Yisrael, they will be building the Beis HaMikdash on our behalf. Okay, says the Gemara now. Rav Chista brought another stirim psukim. Ksiv, it's written, V'chafra halavana ubusha hachama. That the moon will be the moon and the sun will no longer illuminate. Rashi says ubosha chama shlo tayer, no more light from them. Uksiv and it's written v'haya or halavana korachama the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. Ve'or hachama yeshvasayim kor shvasa yomim. And the light of the sun will be 49, 7 times 7, 49 times the amount of the shvasa yomim during the 7 days. So one pasuk says there will be no light from the moon and the sun. The other one said there will be more light from the moon and the sun. Lo kasha, kan li olam haba, kan li mos mashiach. So one of them is reference to olam haba, where there will be, Rashi says, b'olam haba, v'chafra halavano, busha hachama, shlo yeh b'olam elaziv zohar mar shechina, and one's li mos mashiach, yeh or halavano kor hachama. So during mos mashiach, there will be a lot of light. During olam haba, there will be no light. So that's the difference. Again, what these things are, unclear. There's a big discussion in the Rishonim, what exactly is olam haba, what exactly is imos mashiach. However, according to Ulu Shmuel, Shmuel says this in a number of places of Shas, there's no difference between Olam Hazeh and Imos Mashiach. Nothing will change. Imos Mashiach will be exactly like it is now. The only difference is there'll be no Shibin Malchias, that we will not be governed by other countries. That's the only difference. Everything else will be the same. In other words, the moon, the sun will not change anything. So how is he going to understand this psukim? Ma'ik lemeimar. Says the Gemara, Idiv Idiv Olam Haba. They're both in reference to Olam Haba. V'lo kasha, kan v'machin eshchina, chan v'machin etzadikim. Depends which machin, which encampment you're in. Rashi says, Limos Mashiach. No, we didn't do that, Rashi. That we did already.
What's the difference between machin eshchina and machin? Aren't the tzadikim going to be in the machin eshchina?
I think they'll be close to the ziv eshchina, but not in the machin eshchina, I would imagine. So machin eshchina, there, I would guess there'd be no light because the Ziv HaShechinah is light enough.
Right.
Outside in the Machane Tzaddikim, wherever that is, whatever that is, there will be strong light from the sun and the moon.
Right, that's what it says, yeah.
But I'm not sure exactly how those encampments are going to.
That's what it's been.
He explained what's going on?
Yeah.
Okay.
שכשיבוא הצדיקים מחנה שכינה יהנו מזיו השכינה ושם יתקיים הכתוב וחפל מרו לביור מהו מחנה שכינה ומהו מחנה צדיקים ראי אפיקי ים
ראי אפיקי ים
או דתניה
או דתניה, that's it.
The Rava Rami Rava asks another stirim psukim. Ksiv is written in one place, Ani amis vechye, I will cause death and I will bring back to life, says Hashem. Uksiv machatzdi v'ani arafe, and I will cause sickness, and I will also heal. So he asks, hashta achuyi mechaya mirafe lo kolshkin. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to bring someone back to life, certainly he's able to heal somebody from his sickness. So ela amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mash ani mamis ani mechaya, kmo shemachatzdi v'ani arafe. I will bring back to life that which I kill, just like, as you see, I'm able to heal those who get sick. That's what the pasuk is meant to be said. Tanur Rabbanon, Brisa says, Ani amis vechye, yachol misa be'echad, v'chaim be'echad. One might think that what he means, Ani amis vechye, I will cause one to die, that I'll cause another, a baby to be born, not the same person. Mm-hmm. Someone dies, someone gets born. Maybe it's two different individuals. Kiderech she'olm noeg, just like we see, someone dies, someone is born. Tamalomer, machatzi v'anirafe, meaning, ma maka v'rufu be'echad, just like someone who gets sick, and then healed, it's the very same person who gets healed from the sickness. Af amisa v'chaim be'echad. So too, the life will be taking place to the person who dies. So mikan tshuva la'omrim, this is the response we have to those who say, ein tchias ha'mesim in the Torah. This is a source in the Torah we see that tchias ha'mesim does exist. Says the Gemara, davar acher, alternatively, one may say as follows. Ma shani, davar b'tchila, ma shani mames ani mechayeh, V'hader mashem echatzi v'ani arafe. So Rashi says, the last Rashi in the page, the bottom left, davar acher v'tchila mashani meimis ani mechaye, v'hader mashani mechatzi ani arafe, shekederech shehen mesim, chigerim, sumim, ilaymim. When a person, the way he dies missing a limb or blind or can't speak. That's kach ayuchayim, the mumim. That's how they are brought back to life. Then v'achar kach, afterwards, misrapim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu heals them. So that's what it means. So a few different ways how to interpret these psukim. Ani amis ve'achia machatzi v'ani arafe. Then the Gemara goes on to say v'hekter chalavim, quoting from the psuk from the Mishnah again. Hekter chalavim, the being makdir, the different fats is permitted when Pesach, Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. So Tanya, the Braisa says, Amar Rabbi Shimon ba v'ra Come and see kama chaviva mitzvah b'shaisa. See how great this inyan is of performing a mitzvah b'shaisa in its proper time. Why? Sharei hekta chalavim being the avarim upadarim, burning all the fats and the different limbs. Sheirim kolalila is permitted the entire night.
Right.
However, v'ein mamtin in lahem ad shetichshach. They didn't wait. They didn't wait till the night time. Again, Pesach is brought on Erev Pesach. It's brought Yudal Nisan. The Mishnah is talking about a case where it's Shabbos, so they could have waited until Yontif, where you can remark your things much easier in terms of halacha. They could have waited till then, but they didn't want to wait, so they wanted to do bechevivia mitzvah b'shaisa. It's much more chaviv when you do it in the right time. So they were docha Shabbos to be mekayin the din of chaviv mitzvah b'shaita.
There's no other inyan of doing it right away. Only that.
Well, I mean, this concept of chaviv mitzvah b'shaisa.
Yeah, that's the only concept.
Mitzvah bal yado al tach mitzana. We have don't delay.
Yeah, but here you have you're being over Shabbos.
You're being over Shabbos. Right. So you're saying how...
I'm saying the only reason that we allow is because it's a chaviva, it's a mitzvah chaviva. That's it. That's what the Gemara is saying.
Right. I mean, the reason why you're allowed to do it on Shabbos is based on a pasuk. This wouldn't be enough of a reason to be docha Shabbos.
Uh-huh.
So
right.
The implication is that Rashi quotes, let's look at Rashi for a second. Kshem kol alayla. Kedichsiv al mokta al mizbech kol alayla. You're allowed to be makir all night on mizbech. V'yichol l'hakir kol alayla. Fine. They didn't wait until nightfall. So the pasuk olas Shabbos b'shabbos alos atamid sounds like anything that's being shechted, that's brought on Shabbos, you can be mocked during Shabbos also. So there's a heter. But Rashi's telling us, what do you mean mechal Shabbos? Not mechal Shabbos. He just brought a pasuk that you're allowed to do it. Rashi is telling us, I think, that when we like to do it, it's only b'derech d'chuya, where we kind of push off. We don't really like you to do it. It's b'derechuya. When you have the Shabbos against the carbon here, it's better not to do be mak of the carbon. It's permitted, but it's b'dochak. It's with difficulty we permit you to do it. However, but once there's a heter to do it, then you could employ the concept of chaviv mitzvah l'shaisa, and that could push it over and say, you know, wait a second. Since there's a heter, the chaviv mitzvah l'shaisa pushes over the top and says, do it on Shabbos, do it right away, because the chavivus is very dear to us. Okay, then goes on the Gemara and says, now this concept, there's a lot to talk about chaviv mitzvah l'shaisa. When exactly do you apply it? What?
Mitzvah
chaviv. Chaviv means to be very dear. Doing the mitzvah at the first possible moment is very dear to us and dear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's similar to the concept of mitzvah bal yado al tach mitzanu, ein mavirin al mitzvahs. Are these all the same concept? Are the zrizim makdim al mitzvahs? You have all these, I think Rav Asher Weiss in one of his pieces in the Chumash, he talks about, is there a difference between those four concepts? Are they similar? Is there an overlap? When do you apply them? So there are like a few of those that sound pretty similar. So says the Gemara, harkavto v'havaso. We said, the Mishnah said, a number of things are not docha Shabbos. You can't bring outside a tchum, you cannot carry the animal on Shabbos, you can't cut off the avelis, which was some type of growth on the animal, that was not permitted. But the Gemara brings a brisa, maybe it's a Mishnah in Erevin, right? Yeah, in Erevin. Choschin yavelis b'mikdash. You may cut off the avelis. Our Mishnah says you cannot. Here, the Mishnah that's quoted says you can. Avalob Medina, outside the base of Mikdash, one may not cut off the avelis. Now, v'im b'kli, if you're going to use a kli, though, a scissor of some sort, kan v'kan aser, it's aser everywhere, even in the base of Mikdash. So that's the steer. Here it says, one may cut off the avelis. Our Mishnah earlier said he may not. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Bar Chanina, Chad Amar, one of them said, idiv idi b'yad. Both our Mishnah and the Mishnah Erevin are talking about using your hand. Ho belacha, ho biyabasha. One is talking about where it's a wet type of yavelas, and one talking about a dry one. So let's see, Rashi explains. There happens to be a long Rashi here. Let's see. Let's skip to the Rashi here. I'm not sure exactly. That's the beginning of Rashi, I guess. Ha biyad shechos chabiyadov lo basak. In both cases, you're using your hand. De'ein ba'ela mishum shvus. It's only a shvus now when you use your hand, which is only a derabanan.
We learned this in another, right?
In Erevin.
We learned this in Erevin.
Yeah. Vafil hachi still, nonetheless, aser bilacha. It's still aser to cut one when it's very wet yavelas. Hoil matzal mevay lemesma. Since you could have done it yesterday. And that's why it's aser in our Mishnah, v'hahi de'irvin b'yabasha da'afil shvus lekha. When it comes to dry one, there's not even a shvus. So Does the article perhaps explain what exactly is a yovelis? How do they say it, what it means?
Wart.
A wart, okay. It's a type of wart?
Yeah, it says wart. But
and why is a dry wart not a shvus? It's already viewed as being cut off?
It's already, like, it's already dead. It's dead, dead. I guess it's dead skin. I think that's what I remember that we said in...
Okay, it's dead skin, so it's only an issue of gozes when it's still alive.
Right.
Okay. So that's the first interpretation. That's the difference between our mission and the mission of Erevin. One's dry, one's where it's wet. One's alive or one's dead. The Charamar, one of them interpreted the Gemara, says, one of them interpreted the difference between the Mishnayos is E divide Balacha. They're both talking about wet, where they're both the wart is alive. Lokasha, ho biyad habakli. So the case here is where they use the yad, so you are allowed to cut it off. I guess even when it's lache, it wasn't a concern. No, I'm sorry, all the way around. The one in Erevin is where it's with the yad, and you could cut off when it's even when it's lache, it's not a problem. Because I guess
the animal
was,
yad?
Sorry?
In the animal yad.
Exactly. No. You a Kohen uses, or a person uses the hand to take off
to
the wart from the...
From the animal.
From the animal, yeah. Right.
With his hand.
With his hand, right. Okay, fine. So the case of the Gemara in Erevin, the Mishnah Erevin, is a case where it's using your yad. And there's Ein Shvus B'Mikdash.
So both Lach and Yavish are Mutar.
Right. And then our case is we're using a kli, and a kli would be a real malach of gozes of cutting off from the animal.
But Yavish would be allowed.
Yavish, I'm not sure what you could imply from that. I guess Yavish would be allowed, even
no,
if you use kli.
Or we say
Gemara, I think the Gemara is going to go through that inference. Because that's what the Gemara did when we went to class.
Right, I remember that's what I'm saying, so.
Let's see. So Gemara says, Ulman damar ha b'yad ha b'kli. The difference is our mission is where there's a kli, and that's why it's also the mission Erevin to yad, that's why it's mutter. My time alo amar idi b'yad. Why don't they answer the following? They're both b'yad. V'lo kasher ha b'lach ha b'yabasha. Why didn't they give the first answer that the Gemara suggested? So amlecha yavesha mifrach pricha. Rashi v'lo kar lechatikha. It's not cut. It just kind of falls off. It crumbles off. There's nothing to even talk about there. It's not a shayla if it's yavesh. So it must be a case of where they're both lacha, and the difference is yad versus kli. Ulman damar idi v'idi b'yad. The one says you're using a hand. V'lo kasher b'lacha b'yabasha. According to that reasoning, my time alo amar idi v'idi b'lacha v'lo kasher b'yad habakli. Why didn't they give that answer? Ar melacha kli ha kasani hasam im b'kli kam v'kan aser. It says there, already, if you use a kli, in both cases it's aser, so there's no heter ever to use it with a kli. V'idach ha de kasani kli. There that says kli, hacha pluksa de Rabbi Yozar, Rabbi Yeshua, asa leshminim. There, you're right, in Echanami it says it's a kli, it's asr, it seems to be across the board in Erevin, it's asr, it's a kli. But here we're presenting, it's really a machlokas, whether you may use a kli or not. There they only presented one opinion. Here in our Mishnah, they presented both opinions as a debate.
So according to the teretz that we said that according to the teretz that we said that habiyad habikli, the reason he's not machalik between yavesh and lach is because he holds yavesh would be falling.
Habiyad habikli.
They both.
And it's talking both lach and yavesh or no?
Both lach. Lach and one's yad, one's a kli. According to them, yavesh is nothing. Nothing. It just falls off. It crumbles off. There's nothing to even talk about. It's obvious. It's okay.
Right. If beyad is mutar, even belach, for sure it's mutar beyavesh in this one.
Right.
Right.
Because pricha, mifrach pricha.
And according to the second one, it would be
that habelach habiyavesh. You would say kli is aser by both lach and yavesh.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. Good.
It says the Gemara. Now here's some more fun stuff, a little lighter stuff. Not a ganta, but a little lighter, more relevant. So Amar Rabbi Elazar ma'im shchita. So we already mentioned the Mishnah discussion about whether a shvus b'makom mitzvah can be is that permitted? And at the end of the day, we said that there Rabbi Shur Rabbi Elazar were arguing about. What's the status of a Sudas Yom Tov? Is a Sudas Yom Tov a mitzvah or a Sudas Yom Tov a rishus? Because they wanted to say, just like Yom Tov or Malach is permitted for Sudas Yom Tov, but a Shavuos is not permitted, and Sudas Yom Tov is a mitzvah. So we find cases where Malach is permitted for mitzvah, but Shavuosim are not permitted for mitzvah. And the response was, no, Sudas Yom Tov is not a mitzvah, it's a rishus. You're right, by rishus, only Malach is permitted, not a Shavuos. When it comes to a mitzvah like Karban Pesach, even a shus would be permitted. That was the discussion in the Mishnah. So again, it's machlokes whether Sudas Yom Tov is a mitzvah or a shus. The Gemara explains now. Rabbi Yeshua Latameh goes according to his reasoning, the Amar Simchas Yom Tov Nami Mitzvah. That's also considered a mitzvah. The Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ein Lo La'odim Yom Tov Ela O Ocha V'Shosa O Yoshi V'Shone. Rabbi Eliezer says you have two approaches on Yom Tov. Either you can eat all day, eat and drink all day, or you have to sit and learn all day and fast. So we see according to this, there's no mitzvah to eat according to Rabbi Eliezer. One may sit and learn the whole day and no obligation.
What is this?
This is going back on the Mishnah. They're arguing about whether Sudas Yom Tov is a mitzvah or not.
Right. So what is the one saying this? Who's saying that Yom Tov you're supposed to learn? This is a machlokus?
Yeah, machlokus. We saw Rabbi Eliezer. We didn't read Rabbi Yeshua yet. This is first the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer.
What do you say fasting? Where do you get to fasting?
Well, the fact that you eat and drink, you don't have to eat at all.
The fact that you sit and learn,
that you don't have to eat.
You do either, it sounds like.
No, Rabbi Yeshua says you should divide the day.
But we can get
half
to Rabbi Yeshua yet.
Rabbi
Eliezer so
the wrong place, okay.
Rabbi Eliezer again says the Tanya. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ain lo la'odim yom tov ela o'ochel v'shosa, or eat and drink all day. Oh, yoshev v'shona, sit and learn all day. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, chalkeo, split in half.
Okay.
Half it for eating and drinking, half it for learning. The Rabbi Yochanan says, Shneim mikra echad darshu, both learn from the very same pasuk. Kosev echad, one pasuk says, Omer atzeres l'Hashem elokecha, the atzeres is for the Hashem, kul Hashem. V'ksiv echad, another pasuk says, Omer atzeres t'yelachem, it should be for yourselves. How do you, it's a steer in the pasuk, either it's for Hashem and you're supposed to learn all day, or for yourself when you're supposed to eat all day. So Rabbi Eliezer Savar, oh kul Hashem, oh kul Lachem. Either it's entirely dedicated to Hashem, of learning and davening, oh kul Lachem, or it's entirely for yourself, sitting and learning. Rabbi Yeshua Savar, chalkayu, split in half, chetzi Lachem, chetzi Lachem. Half of it is for yourself, Hashem, half it is for Hashem, half of it is for learning. So there's a lot to discuss. This is a fantastic discussion. One night, the past, must have been maybe 10 years or so, I've ran a chabur Shavuos night. We've learned topics from beginning to end. So 1 year we spent just this sugi here of Chatzil Hashem, Chatzil Hashem, Kul Hashem, Kul Hashem. We spent the entire night, several hours, learning this topic. There's a lot to be said here. So one thing is according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says you have the option of either sitting and learning or eating all day. Sounds like Sudas Yom Tov is a rishus.
Right.
So the Baal Mor and others point out, when you have, if you decide to take the approach of eating all day, you're going to get, it's considered a Sudas Mitzvah. It is a Sudas Mitzvah. The only, because you have the option of opting out of eating, sitting and learning all day, that's why it's called the Sudas Rishus. But when you eat the Suda, it is a key mitzvah, it's a Sudas Yom Tov. That's how the Baal Mor understands it. Well, others say no, there's no key mitzvah at all. Either you eat
but
or
he's
you,
saying that once you decide to eat, you shouldn't learn, you should just eat all day. Is that what he's saying?
If you, according to this, the simple understanding is, if you're going to take the approach of kul lachem, sit and eat the entire day.
What if you enjoy for yourself learning? All right.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess we hold like Rabbi Yeshua.
That's my chlok, had a paskim. Rambam holds like Rabbi Yeshua, and Baal Mor paskim like Rabbi Eliezer. We paskim like Rabbi Yeshua, we split the day. Half the day of learning, and then plenty of eating, and then hopefully...
You can eat all day anyway.
I don't know. In practice, I'm not sure how it really works out. How do you sit and eat in the entire day?
Right.
Now,
unless you're in a hotel, so you go right from the dining room to the tea room, and then...
Right, that's what I'm told. A lot of eating takes place there. Now, within the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua that you split the day in half, now, the Bach says it has to be mamish half. Half dedicated to learning, half dedicated to eating. Now, I'm not sure exactly how you include that. But you have to split it in half. While the Pashas is, according to Pima Gadim and others, that no, you have to split it in half. Just make sure you do a little bit of both. You do a little bit of learning and davening. You do a little bit of eating and drinking. But it's almost impossible to get it completely half and half. There's a discussion when having Sudas Yom Tov. In the Simchas Yom Tov, do you have to have pas? Is it a kim to have a requirement to have bread? So based on the Mishnah Sukkah, the Mishnah Sukkah says you only have to have pas Leil Rishon, the first night of Sukkot. Beyond that, you don't have to sit in the Sukkah. You can exempt yourself from eating basar and dogim and shahakal fruits and perhaps eitz and adama. You don't have to eat in the Sukkah. You only have to eat in the Sukkah Leil Rishon. Sounds like the other nights. The daytime of Yom Rishon, the day of Sukkot, you do not have to eat bread. Sounds like the only reason why you eat pas the first night is to have the chi of Sukkah. But midin simchas yomtiv, which is going to be on the yom rishon, you do not have to have bread. You can eat fruit and meat and eat inside. That's how the Tosfos and Sukkah understand it. Tosfos and Brachos, however, argue that no. The Mishnah and Sukkah is just talking about the perspective of the chiyuv midin sukkah. Midin sukkah, you only have a chiyuv sukkah larishon. You have no chiyuv sukkah the next day. But in Echnami, from the angle of Simchas Yomtiv, you have a chiyuv to eat pas every single time you have Sudas Yomtiv, and you would have to eat in the sukkah, meaning you have to eat pas on the day of sukkah for the Simchas Yomtiv. Once you're eating bread, mimele, you have to eat in the sukkah as well. But there's not a chiyuv sukkah on the day Yom Rishon. It's just once you're eating, you're not allowed to eat outside the sukkah once you're having bread anyways.
Nafkamina is whether you would have to go back if you forgot Yelav Yovel.
Exactly.
Exactly. You don't have to go back because there's no chiyuv suda.
Exactly. That's exactly the point. Right. And Rav Kiviger, based on this very point, he says that's the exact issue when it comes to Nashim. If Nashim forgot to say Yalev Yavel during any of the meals, do they have to go back or not? So it depends whether they're chayiv in Simchas Yomtiv or not. Rav Kiviger thinks they're not chayiv in Simchas Yomtiv, and therefore, if they forget to say it, they would not have to go back and say Yalev Yavel if they missed it.
Why would they be chayav Simchas Yomtiv with mitzvah shel zman grama?
But he says they're not. He said because of that reason,
right,
they're not. Now one might say, he says
the chayav in Shabbos. I would say if they forget, would say they're chayav in Suda Shabbos, and isn't there a question whether you extend the same chiv because we have asking that link Shabbos can't I forgot.
Well, there are a number of places the Gemara refers to the Yomtiv as Shabbos. Remember, Rashi's that talk about Yomtiv, and Yomtiv is called Shabbos. There's actually a very good gra in Parshat Emor, that the Parshat Emor talks about the Moadim, it starts off talking about Shabbos first. Exactly. So what's talking about Shabbos? We're talking about the Moadim, nothing to do with Shabbos. So the gra explains that when it says Shabbos, it doesn't refer to Shabbos as we know it, but rather refers to the 6 weekdays and the 7th day, really reference to the Yom Tov and Yom Kippur. The 6 days, you have 2 days of Pesach, and you have Shavuos, and then you have 1 day Rosh Hashanah, then you have 2 days of Sukkot, first day and last day. That's 6 days, that's the Mechol. The lower day is the Yontif. But then Yom Shabbason, Shabbos, that's a reference to Yom HaKippurim, which is like Shabbos. So even Shabbos, we have elements of Yontif. That's how it's the introduction. The Pashas is, Shabbos is really an introduction to Yontif. Shabbos is the source of all Yontif, all Kedusha comes from Shabbos, and that spreads itself to all the Yom Tovim. So there's a very much strong connection. But Kiviger says, however, even though women are chayv in Suda Shabbos, because kol sheyeshna b'shmira, yeshna b'zechira, if they're chayv in the shmira aspects, the laws of Shabbos, they're also chayv in the mitzvah asay of Shabbos as well. That does not extend itself to Yom Tov, he says. But he's precluding that possibility that maybe there are others who think, no, it would apply over, it would extend over even to Yom Tov.
Isn't there some Torah by the parah that went out with the Ritzua that was on its horns? It says that it wasn't Reb Lazar's parah, it was his Shechinta's parah, and it was talking about on Yontif. So there's some bring a right from there, because that's the mitzvah of Shvisas Behemto, and that's an asay on Yontif. That's an asay. So you see from here that women have a chiv in the asays, because how could Reb Lazar be over Shvisas Behemto by Shechinta, by his wife, and that is by his neighbor, who's a woman, apparently, unless she has a chiyuv of shvisas behemto on yantif? So I think there's a shaila whether women are chayiv and aseis on yantif or how.
Right. So shvisas behemto might be different, because that shvisas behemto, that might be more linked to shvisas behemto of Shabbos, as opposed to sudas yantif is really independent to the Shabbos. But
wasn't it in Pesach? What are you missing now? I remember that too.
It's definitely in Beitza. I'm not sure if it's in Pesach.
We learned it in a few months ago. I don't know when.
I remember being
in Shabbos.
What?
I remember that.
I think it was Shabbos. Shabbos. No, it was Shabbos. So it makes it Shabbos.
Must be.
It makes it interesting.
It was Shabbos.
Okay, right. Then another discussion, just as we still have time, come to Rosh Hashanah. What's the din? Is there Simchas Yomtiv in Rosh Hashanah or not? Coming up next week, 2 weeks. So the mission, so the discussion in the Rishon, whether one's allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah or not. There are some who held that one is not allowed to fast. The Gaonim held it's us to fast in Rosh Hashanah because there's a certain level of simcha in Rosh Hashanah, while others, like the Chumash Hadeshin, said it's mutter to fast in Rosh Hashanah. And the Magen Avraham says, even though when you say it's mutter to fast in Rosh Hashanah, it's aser on Leil Rosh Hashanah. You can't fast in Leil Rosh Hashanah. If it's even though permitted in Yom Rosh Hashanah, it's not permitted by Leil Rosh Hashanah. So the point, that's why many are makil in terms of Rosh Hashanah, that if, although on Yom Tov and Shabbos we're makbid to try to eat and take kiddush before Chatzos, on Rosh Hashanah, there's room to say, if you don't say Kiddush before Chatzos, it's not the biggest deal, because there are very many Rishonim who say one is allowed to, perhaps one may have to, according to some Rishonim, too fast on Rosh Hashanah. That's where we make in terms of that. Okay, so that is the Gemara now. Akum Simon, quotes the say Avam as the Simon. This is the Simon, Ayin Beis Mem. Amar Reb Elazar. Hakol Moldim Batzeres, the Beinan Nam Lechem. Even though there is machlokis regarding all the Yom Tovim, when it comes to Atzeres, when it comes to Shavuos, everybody agrees you have to have Lachem. You're supposed to eat the entire day for yourself. My Taima, Yom Shenisa Bo Torah, who the day that was the Torah was given. And Rashi explains. Was that Rashi? I thought Rashi explained. Yeah, the Ba'ina Nami Lachem. So he says, She Yismach Bo B'mayichil Mishta. You have to eat, rejoice in eating and drinking. Laharos Shenoach Makubal Yom Zel Yisrael Shenosa Torah Bo. To show that you're very happy and accepting upon the Torah, the Klai is very happy about this. By eating and drinking, that's a way of showing this Simcha. Now, there's a lot to be said in the Sifrei Chassidim about. Doesn't make sense. You're eating, you're supposed to just be learning. You get the Torah, and the best thing to do is to be learning the Torah that you got, not to be eating the day you got the Torah. A lot to be said about this. We won't discuss this now, though. So I'm a rabbi. Rabbi says, I call Molden b'Shabbos to be in an army lachem. When it comes to Shabbos as well, everybody agrees that you need lachem for yourselves to eat. My time of the cross of the Shabbos oneg, because Shabbos is oneg, you're supposed to get oneg on Shabbos enjoyment. Now, at this very point, it sounds like Shabbos must be part of Yom Tov. Why is he talking about Shabbos here? We've been talking about Yom Tov up until now. Where did Shabbos come from? Does this sound like Rabbi thinks Shabbos and Yom Tov has this overlap? Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, I call Molden Bepurim, the Be'ina Nami Lachem, my time you may Mishav Asimchoksiv. It says days of party, days of rejoicing. So therefore, you're supposed to eat and drink also on Purim. Now they explain here, this is the connection the Gemara and Shabbos tells us, that Purim is also a Kabbalah Satorah. Right? Kabbalah Satorah of Sinai was Har Kigik, because that was forced upon us. This was Be'ava, we accepted Purim, we re-accepted the Torah in Purim time, Be'ava, and that's why it's comparable, Purim is comparable to Shavuos in accepting the Torah. Says the Gemara, Mar Brei D'Ravina, Kula Shasa, the entire year, Hava Yasa B'Tainisa. He fasted the entire year, Libar Mi'atzarasa, except for Shavuos, Upurya and Purim, Umala Yom HaTikipurim, and Erev Yom Kippur. Why these 3 days? Atzeres Yom Shenisa B'Torah, like we said above, that was the day the Torah was given. Pura, you may mishav asim chaksiv, and mali yom adikpura. Why erev Yom Kippur? Detan echiyah barav medifti v'inisim es afshar seichem mitish lechodesh. And you're supposed to have inoy on the 9th of the chodesh, 9th of Tishrei. Mar asks v'chi b'tishrei b'misanin. Do you really fast on the 9th day? V'alo b'siri b'misanin. Don't you really fast on the 10th day? Yom Kippur is the 10th, not the 9th. And the lomer lecha kol ha'ochil v'shosu b'tishrei bo. Anybody who eats and drinks on the 9th of Tishrei. As if he fasted both the 9th and the 10th. So a number of things come out of this discussion here. One is, how was Mar Brei D'Ravina allowed to fast on Shabbos? He said he fasted every day except for Atzeres, Erev Yom Kippur, and Purim. Didn't the Gemara above said everyone agrees on Shabbos, you have to fast because of Oneg Shabbos? So they discuss how he gets around that. Now, also in terms of eating...
Maybe he didn't mean Shabbos, I mean. Except for Shabbos.
He wasn't referring to Shabbos because he's only referring to Yom Tovim, perhaps, right. Weekdays. But Shabbos, perhaps, was a given. I don't remember the answer, but maybe that's one of the answers they say. Now, in terms of the issue of eating Erev Yom Kippur, since it's also right around the corner, may as well say a few things on that. There's Machlokas, Rashi, and Beis Yosef, and Rabbeinu Yonah, what the reason is why we eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So Rashi says the reason why you eat Erev Yom Kippur is for very practical reasons, because you're going to be fasting the next day, so to make the fast easier for you, you're supposed to fast on Erev Yom Kippur. The Beis Yosef, if I remember correctly, I think he says the other way around. By you eating on Erev Yom Kippur, it actually makes your fast harder. It creates additional inoy. That's why it's as if you fasted on 2 days in a row, because you're eating a lot, and then the next day you have nothing to eat. It's very hard for the body. It's like having caffeine. You have a lot of caffeine the previous day, and the next day you don't have any caffeine, supposedly. I don't drink too much caffeine, but supposedly it's very hard on the body. You get big headaches from not having the caffeine. So same idea. You eat so much Erev Yom Kippur, then you stop eating the next day. That makes the fast even harder. Rabbeinu Yonah offers 3 different reasons why you eat on Erev Yom Kippur. One is because we're so excited that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a day of Mechila. And Slicha Mechila on this day, because of that excitement, we have a celebration for this opportunity to have the very next day. He writes another reason, this is a very interesting reason, that really, Mikra Din, there should be a Simchas Sudas Yom Tov on Yom Kippur. There really should be. But of course, we can't fast, so where else are you going to do it? You have to move it to Erev Yom Kippur.
That's good.
Now,
Say it again.
Really, there should be, since Yom Kippur is the most simcha, the Gemara in the mission, Tanya says, there are no, the two holy, two happiest days of the year is Tu B'Av, that's for another discussion, and Yom Kippur.
Okay.
Yom Kippur is such a simcha dika day. Shouldn't there be a Suda on it? Well, we can't have a Suda
on
Yom Kippur itself. We should have a celebration. But we should feed. We should eat. But we can't obviously eat because the Torah says you can't eat.
Okay.
So we push it off because we're like malachim. So we push it off to Erev Yom Kippur.
Okay.
Now, if that's the case, if really Yom Kippur is a Simchas Yom Tov, it's a Yom Tov day, there should be two meals. Simchas Yom Tov has two meals. So there's a Tosfos in Shabbos that says that the Matzah Yom Kippur also has a status of a Sudas Mitzvah. So according to that, you could build this Mahalach that there should be two meals, but one ends up being Erev Yom Kippur, the other one being is Matzah Yom Kippur. And that's where we find the two meals in Yom Kippur. Okay, fine.
Mazal Tov.
Okay. Now there's a discussion there based on these various reasons. There are nafkamina is brought in terms of a person who is sick and can't fast Yom Kippur. Is there still a mitzvah for him or her to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? So if the point is to make the fast easier, according to Rashi and Yuma, to make the fast easier on Yom Kippur, well, since his chol is not going to be fasting, there's no point of him eating on Erev Yom Kippur. There's no key mitzvah. But if you say...
So how is he supposed to do it? Meaning, not to eat at all?
No, he'll eat. He just won't get a mitzvah.
This person's sick, so they're going to be eating on Yom Kippur.
So, but he'll get no kiyum of the mitzvah on Erev Yom Kippur because there's no point for him.
Is it a mitzvah?
What?
Is it a mitzvah?
It is a mitzvah, right? It is a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. But if you say, perhaps, let's say the reason is because it's a celebration of the Yom Mechila, Slicha Mechila that's coming, so then even though he may not be able to eat, he'll still get Slicha Mechila, so the Chora, he should be, this Chora should be eating Erev Yom Kippur, or at least he'll be getting a mitzvah on Erev Yom Kippur as well.
Nafkamina also for Erev Tisha B'Av, because if it's in order...
To help, oh, very good, right. Right, very good. Okay, says the Gemara now, further. Rav Yosef B'Yom Adat Sarsa, Rav Yosef on the day of Shavuos, Amar Avdi said to his servants, so he said to his household, I think, Avdi li egla tlasa, make me a third born calf. Rashi explains, apparently the third calf that's born from a cow is the best, most delicious cut of meat. So Amar, he said as follows, Yosef said, Ilo ha yoma deka garm, if it was not for this day of Shavuos that the Torah was given, Kama Yosef Ika B'Shukah, how many other Yosefs would there be in the Shuk? Meaning, I'd be no different than any other Yosef in the Shuk. Because of Shavuos, because the Torah is given and made me into Rav Yosef, I'm celebrating that fact. Now, the Gemara, some of the Achronim are bothered by how Rav Yosef could say this about himself. The Gemara says at the end of Sota that when Rebbe died, Bitlan Anava, there's no more Anivas left in the world. Rav Yosef came along and said, what do you mean? I'm still around. So that statement alone is very interesting, but Rav Yosef was just being honest with himself and with the world that he still had a nevus. So how could Yosef come along here and say that he was so great, he was celebrating the fact that he's different than anybody else? I don't know what they say, but I know this question is raised. Rav Sheshes, Kol Tlasan Yomim, every 30 days, Mehader Le Tamuda, he would chazer over everything he learned every 30 days. V'tali v'kai b'ivr d'dasha. Now I don't get this point, the article might need to help me out a little bit here. He would stand by I understand the words, but I don't understand what the point is. He'd stand by the doorway, V'amar, and he would say when he would make the seam every 30 days, Chada nafshai, I'm so happy because of lecha, kra lecha tonight. Because of you, I learned you in the psukim, I learned the mishnayos from you. I'm just not sure why he's standing by the door. I think the Achram discussed this.
It says, Re'e Ruvin, Iruvin, Kuvbet Aleph, Lesber Madua Bach, in order to explain why Bach Rav Sheshet should choose. Specifically in this place,
uh-huh.
In the Bariach of the Delef.
Uh-huh. So it's a little
there. Iruvin Kuf Bet Aleph.
Okay.
Iruvin Kuf Bet.
Yeah.
So if somehow he picked the door, well, he's finding it, what tells us there. But somehow the door, he felt the need to go by the door and make the statement that how happy Aleph. He was that he made the seam and learned all of this, which he learned. So, says the Gemara now, Aini, is this really true? The Ho Amar Rebbe Elazar, Il Mali Torah, Lo Neskaimu Shemaim Aretz, had not been for the Torah, the world wouldn't exist. Shenemar Im Lo Brisi Yomam V'Layla, Chukas Shemaim Aretz, Lo Samti. So, the Torah was needed for the world to exist, and without the Torah, the world couldn't exist. So it sounds like from Rav Sheshe's statement that he was getting all this hana and enjoyment just for himself. The Torah wasn't given for his own enjoyment. The Torah was given for the world to exist, not for himself. So says the Gemara, "May karak yavid initially when a person learns adai to the nafshi kavid." He really initially learns for his own benefit, his own hana.
I see this is the sugya where it's discussing about kalim, binyan kalim. It's talking about the door and how it's hanging. But I don't see
why did you choose this place. What's specific? What's special about this place? Yeah. This location. This is kedusha in the bariach.
I guess I'm not sure, but okay. Either way, so they say in the beginning, a person learns Torah for himself. That's where Rav Sheshe was coming from. But in the end, the real essence, the real purpose of the Torah is to keep the Torah continued. So let's. We'll stop here.
Is it Yitav Leiv on this sugya there by Ilma?